Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio by our old friend, former Scottish football correspondent Mark Donaldson. He now lives in the States, and it was in the States he got to know and become very good friends with the late, great Paul Mariner, formerly of England, Ipswich and Arsenal. Mark came in, he's put together a beautiful biography of Paul, and George Mariner, Paul's son, joined him as well. We chatted to the comedian and actor Nick Helm, who is not a big sports fan, but he told us why.
That's right, he hates sport, but yeah. Never mind. We got something out of it.
We got him in. And Richard Crackers Cracknell, friend of the show, Spurs fan, and our training ground reporter for many a transfer window. He popped in to see us on a flying visit from the Canary Islands. So we had a chat, got involved in some stuff. Yeah. Andy told us about a gig he's going to in Bexhill on Sea. I bet you can't wait. Here it all is.
5 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon.
Andy. Good afternoon, Paul. And yes, I was very annoyed not to be able to get a ticket for last night's game. And it wasn't a great game to miss.
You got your timings. Are you one of those things where you missed the deadline?
You just missed the deadline. I just wish they'd either send you out an email or you had some idea when these tickets
go. They normally do send you an email. Well, a lot do.
I know they don't for some reason.
Don't forget. They send us three or four and say the deadline is tomorrow.
They don't do that. So it's a bit annoying. But that's my fault. So I can't really blame anybody else. And it wasn't. Was a poor
what a game!
Game.
What a performance!
What a game to miss. Yeah, they are playing well, Chelsea, at the moment. I mean, I still wouldn't say they're the best team in the world. That's a big claim.
Yeah, Gabby Agbonlahor.
That's a very big claim. I mean,
who's better?
Well, you have to say on the evidence of the City Chelsea game that City slightly had the edge. Well, they were much better than was a 1-0 thrashing. So we'll have to see. But I think the three teams, there's not a lot between City, Liverpool, and Chelsea. I don't think, on any given day.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so we'll see what happens. And
everybody's saying Chelsea are a machine. We were talking about this yesterday, but a couple of the cogs are going to be missing. I mean, the one sort of working with that Conte, I mean, they can, can't they?
Yeah, they've done
they've
without
proved that.
And they've got Alonso to cover Chilwell, but that was a blow because he was playing really, really well and it looked like quite a serious injury. Kante doesn't look too serious. It's a much harder game against United than it would have been a week ago, let's be honest. And even harder if they do get Pochettino, which I've been told is a done deal by somebody well connected.
You spoke to someone really well connected in the world of football and that's what you were told.
Yes.
It's done.
Of course, he can't
say
anything, you know, for tonight's game. And be interesting to see what happens in the next few days and whether that's true. The same person told me that Conte has told Harry Kane that he's overweight and unfit.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that's fair enough, isn't it? That's the way it looks to me. I mean,
Lukaku
was, you know, he definitely got him slimmer and quicker and, you know.
I imagine he is a manager that does deal in home truths. So I imagine he's someone that, and maybe they get a bit lost in the translation. So he comes across, as my old nan would say, as a bit Joe Blunt,
yeah, but, you
Giuseppe Blunt.
There's no question that, you know, that'll do England massive favours if he's right and he gets Kane fitter. Because I think you saw on Sunday against Leeds, he's not himself. I mean, even in a Tottenham win, there were times where you just thought he would have scored that goal. He would have just been quicker. Yeah. You know, he just looks a bit ponderous. So, you know, I look forward to him. Well, not from a Spurs point of view.
Look forward to him getting better.
Well, from an England
point of view.
That was interesting last night. I'm sure that goal was going to be disallowed. I sent my son a text saying That's handball.
But oh, yeah, the one.
Peter Walton put me right. The rules changed.
I know it has, but it does have a material effect on where the ball ends up and the fact the goal is scored with the next touch, effectively, isn't it? So, Manchester United, you watch them?
I only saw the goals. A nice opportunistic moment.
The game was interesting. We were talking earlier on about how Manchester United will play, because it looked like they would have been quite happy with 0-0 and thought, we'll get a chance at some point, we've got to put them away. And a player like Ronaldo, there's always that chance, which is what they did. Then Sancho scored a very good goal.
They've matched up well against Chelsea in the past.
But if they come to your place and maybe sit back in the same way they did...
I think that's what they're going to do, don't you?
That's quite high risk against you, isn't it? It works on the basis that you don't concede
Reece
during
James,
that period.
I mean, he was mad at that. What a brilliant goal that was. I think he's playing so well, isn't he? He's absolutely.
Sure is. And you wonder, at the time you were looking at Tarek Lamptey and thinking, why is he going to leave? But he obviously
Same
saw.
Same with Livramento.
He saw that they weren't going to get
Although,
games.
You know, Reece James may end up in the back three, but we'll see. Yeah. We shall see. But
it was a good performance.
Yeah, it's going well.
So we should say well done to the new CEO of UK Anti-Doping.
Oh, yes.
Her name is Jane Rumble. R-U-M-B-L-E, Rumble.
Are you ready, obviously?
I hope it works out for her. We really do. She starts next March. She may be thinking she's got a bit of time to fill before March.
Yeah.
Does she want to do a bit of telly? Does she fancy maybe pitching some ideas to the TV companies?
I'm just trying to think of the name of that rugby league ground that's called the Jungle. Is it Warrington?
Yes. I would say you're trying to get that in there. Yeah, well, right. I mean, there's only two, isn't there? Let's get ready to rumble, and I'm not quite sure what that is, but she's in it. And then there's Rumble in the Jungle, which goes on safari.
Rumble Stilton Skin.
Was it the cheese based? Cheese making show. That's rather good. Belly Rumble. I don't know what that is. Anyway, look, we'll leave it to the listeners. They're much better at this than us. So we're looking for some TV formats for the new UK. I mean, I'm sure giving all the gravitas, obviously, the role deserves. Coming up with TV formats for. Jane Rumble, talksport.com/HNJ. You can text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. TSHANDJ.
I don't know if you saw, but Line of Duty star Adrian Dunbar, Ted Hastings, is in a new drama, and you'll never guess. He's playing a policeman.
It's amazing,
isn't it?
Well, I imagine he's getting a good pension as well at the end of all this. If he does sort of 25, 30 years in police dramas, you get a good
decent
payoff.
Pension.
A decent
good.
Pension, yeah. So and best of luck. Especially the senior ranks that he tends to play.
Cricket Tasmania are great, aren't they? Yeah. They say that they're obviously defending Tim Payne and everything. He's already been through a disciplinary process. They said it's the worst thing to happen to an Australian captain since Bill Laurie. But it was slightly different. I was reading about it. Bill Laurie, all he did was complain about the team hotel. Not quite the same, is it?
No, not quite the same as sending, I think, Bill. Well, if Bill had a mobile phone, he wouldn't have done that anyway. Tension of sending...
And it has been a great year for Italy. Not only did they win the European Championships, not only did they win the 100 metres at the Olympics...
They won Bake Off last night.
It's controversial, though.
Was it? I don't watch
Giuseppe's
Andy.
Been great, but he had a poor final.
Did he really?
Yeah, I was saying to see.
Why do I feel like I'm in the hairdressers all of a sudden?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay.
Well, it's sport, isn't it?
What did he...
Well, he burnt his technical, for a start.
Well, that's always painful, isn't it? Who are you, Roy Hudd? This is taking me back.
Exactly.
Have you got a court subpoena?
Of course.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're joined in the studio now by our former Scottish football correspondent who these days works for ESPN in the States. It was during that time he got to know Paul Mariner very well. They became good friends. And now Mark has well, he's written and kind of pulled together, we'll explain the circumstances shortly, a wonderful biography of Paul, my rock and roll football story, much of it told, but sadly not all of it in his own words. He's also alongside Paul's son George, who's joined us in the studio. Guys, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
To see you.
So,
Mark, yeah, it's probably worth explaining how this all came about. You know, say Paul wrote some of it with another author, but it never saw the light of day, and then you kind of picked up on that.
Yeah, it wasn't even going to be a book. It was just a life story to get it down on paper back in 2010. And I had no idea that this even existed when I said to George's dad back in March, do you fancy writing a book? And he got back, he says, ooh, does it entail much? And I said, well, it depends what you're willing to say. And he said, look, I'm going through chemo and radiotherapy. I'll have lots of time to do it. And we got in touch with the same book publisher that did Stevie Nicholls' book that I wrote a few years ago, because Stevie and Paul worked together. And we started the process. But sadly, Paul started to go downhill around then. And there was one occasion, an hour and a half, I spoke with Paul over the phone on Skype, and that's the only time I spoke with him. So I was able to take what was already there, speak to about 40 people, from Kevin Painter, the darts player, to Jurgen Klinsmann, who played with him or had him at Toronto, and all these Ipswich boys in Plymouth and Portsmouth and
Arsenal. That was a great time, wasn't it? That comes across in the book. And also, George, what comes across, a lovely tribute from you. And also, what a great bloke your dad was, how much he was loved.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing. I mean, he's the sort of person that would do anything for anyone, you know, even if you've met him for 10 minutes, you know, he'd say, you know, try and help you out here and there. I think everyone loved him. His sort of life and soul of the party, just, you know, plop him in a room and people were drawn to him. So yeah, I mean, I'm proud of my dad and what he achieved. Mark's done an incredible job of the book. It's just a shame, you know, dad's not here to read it himself.
Sure.
But I can't wait to get stuck into it, because I haven't read it all yet, so...
You say everything he achieved, Mark, and that's, and when you actually look at the book and you look at what he did achieve at club level as an England international, I mean, it was some career, wasn't it?
It was, and there's not many football autobiographies that have a lead singer of a famous rock band, Deep Purple, doing the forward, Ian Gillan, and the nonsense that they got up to. He had a wonderful career playing and scoring for England at the World Cup. And there's a tale in there as well. I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, Hofmeister beer used to have George the Bear as the kind of advert.
Follow the bear.
Follow the bear.
Yeah.
So one day, people in London did follow the bear, because Mr. Mariner, your father, and I know this is the first time I've met George as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Today, this is the first time we've actually met. It's all been over the phone. Your father went round London with Viv Anderson driving a cabriolet when they were at Arsenal, and he had George the Bear's head on, waving to everybody. He stole the bear's head from it was an Arsenal day out on a Wednesday. And there's stories about helicopters with George Best to play in an Ian Gillan tribute. And all sorts. There's a bit of football in there as well, by the way.
Yeah, there is. The Ian Gillan stuff is fantastic. Oh, and it's interesting. They became sort of great mates, George, didn't they?
Yeah.
Lots and lots of stories about that, and about them dedicating Smoke on the Water to him on a few occasions when they played live.
Yeah, I mean, my dad loved music. You know, rock and roll was obviously his favourite genre, but. You know, he'd always be messaging me, asking me, you know, what's the next thing coming out. He even liked a bit of house music. And in fact, when he was, unfortunately, when he was ill, I made him a little playlist for his birthday. And there was a lot of sort of house music on there, soul music, a little bit of everything. But, you know, he's always into music. when we were young, he actually loved to drum, played the drums.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, he's a big fan of music.
There's a great story in the book. There's, remember Shoot Magazine or Match Magazine? Yeah. Used to do the kind of favourite food and the stupid questions.
Well, we did one with him live, Mark. We did a refocus. We found an old copy of Shoot and we got him on from the States and we went through them. We'll see how much he could remember.
We asked him questions about it.
See if he could get the same answer.
What was your
favourite
food in 1982 or whatever?
That was the thing. So one of them was favourite musical instrument and he'd said piano. And he's never played the piano in his life, but as a result, he was getting letters from parents of supporters when he was at Ipswich saying, thank you so much, I've now got my kids playing the piano because they know it's your favourite musical instrument. He'd never picked up or played anything like that in his life, had he?
I guess it's better than the drums, right?
Yeah, well, that's it.
But you mentioned Ian Gillan then. You were telling us before the show that he'd written one forward and then he wanted to put in an extra part.
Yeah, because I'm in Connecticut 5 hours behind, it was a Saturday night and the phone went, as it does. I mean, how many times does the lead singer of Deep Purple call you? And he said, look, I've just been to see Paul. And he knew at that time, this was the 1st of May, it was going to be the last time he'd see him. He says, would you mind if I add to the foreword? So he is, as a writer of music, he's got a tone about him that's incredible. And it made me cry. A lot of things in that book made me cry. And it'll probably set me off just now as well. But Ian was someone and is someone who is a special character. He's like Paul as well. Because they've achieved so much, but they're still so humble and they think of others before themselves.
There's some wonderful stories in there where they went, I think, Nebworth, they went off to Nebworth.
Oh, my goodness.
And a couple of the Ipswich boys, Russell Osman and Terry Butcher,
and the
decided
fireworks.
To get a better view and went up on this kind of high, this high area. Mm. But they didn't realise that seconds later, a massive firework display was going to go off, probably to wipe out two of the sort of Ipswich stars.
Well, that was the one where Deep Purple reunited. They split up in Japan at the end of the 70s, and that was the one where the helicopter came over, and back in those days there weren't many helicopters going to gigs, so that was billed as the Deep Purple reunion. And Mariner was there because he went to all, he was invited by Ian Gillan, and when Gillan was in Ipswich at the Gaumont, he used to go after the game to the Ipswich Arms, the Green Inn newspaper. And Gillan's party trick, he calls it the afterburn, was if someone calls, that's it, time, no more drinks, he'd take the local newspaper, wherever it was, and he'd set fire to one end, put the other end between his legs, and say to the barman, look, this is going all the way, and the whole thing's going to go up unless we can get another drink. Gillan's telling me this. He goes, I even taught it to my daughter.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There's some nice stories. I take it from the first book, because it seems to be in Paul's words, where he's talking about the old Ipswich team, and like pen pics of his old teammates.
Yeah, that's a good section.
And of course, Mr. Brazil, our own Mr. Brazil, gets in there. And it's a lot of happy memories of your dad going racing with Big Alan, Newmarket Races. And he says at one point, he said he was always larger than life. I'm not surprised he's presenting the breakfast show on Talk Sport. He said, I'm also not surprised he often turns up late for it either.
Having babysat Alan Brazil at Hampden when he did his Flower of Scotland impersonation.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, I know all about that. But they had a great relationship. And I know your dad always came back, didn't he? Because he did a games with us at ESPN, usually until mid-December, and he would always come back to go to the racing with you in December.
He'd always come over at Christmas, sort of spend time with my brothers and myself. You know, he'd see his mother as well. But yeah, you know, he'd come back to London. We'd go to the races, go to Ascot. It's one of his favourite things to do. He actually owned a racehorse, but I went... Why not go too deep into that? Because it's probably in the book. So
yes, I remember there was reading the story.
He was given it by a Greek magnate, a Greek shipping magnate. Gave him a horse, and he called it Mighty Mariner.
And
the rest is until you find out.
But there were three clear sections to his life, his working life, the footballer, and then coaching, and then working with you in the media.
Yeah, and he gave up football at the age of 15 to play cricket with Bill Beaumont.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that just... wait a minute here. Bill Beaumont played... Yeah, so he gave it up. And it was Steve Walsh, who was the director of football at Leicester, and then went to Everton.
Yeah.
They were pals from the same area of Lancashire. And they were underage drinking one night in the bar. And Steve said to them, do you fancy coming back? And they did. So he went on a trial to Plymouth and had to go to Penzance to get a contract. And by the way, he was about to sign... The deal was agreed for him to go to West Ham, not Ipswich. West Ham, Ron Greenwood, who was general manager, having gone up and not manager anymore, did the deal on the Saturday night that he would be a West Ham player. Bobby Robson got wind of this and did the deal on the Sunday, and that's why he ended up at Ipswich.
Wow, that's a good story. He played under Rondon in the World Cup.
In 82,
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that also comes across, George, is that he seemed very happy and content in his life when he was taken ill.
Yeah, you know, always high spirits, which is incredible for Dad. You know, always still laughing and joking. You know, I'd even put up old clips of him on YouTube, and you know, just to bring back memories. And he used to love watching it. And you know, I tried to do that with him for obviously when it came to the book with Mark, just to give Mark some more details. And yeah, he was always so happy. And yeah, honestly, he was an amazing dad. Like, did everything and anything for me and my brothers. Really fortunate to have him. And like I said, it's, you know, it's a shame he's not here now.
But, sure.
You know, his legacy lives on, and Mark's done an incredible job with the book.
And yeah, lots of tributes at the end of the book, which are so moving and fulsome. It's always a mark of a man when people speak about you like that.
It was the night before England played in the final as well, in the Euro final, that he passed. And it's just how well, I mean, how people talk about who would he be now. He wouldn't be anybody now, but a similar style. I don't know if he'd be like a Harry Kane or someone like that, but he was brave. Mm. Nothing. And footballers, the Ipswich team that era were brave, and but they had such a camaraderie because of what they did off the pitch as well. And I mean, I'm sure he told you a few stories that you know but would never give up as well, that couldn't feature in a book, but he was just that type of guy.
I mean, just, you know, I asked him, you know, when he broke his leg at Chorley, and then, you know, I said, you know, how did you feel when you you came back? And he said, you know, I felt stronger, I felt quicker, I felt more hungrier. And, you know, I think, do you know who was it who came to see him at Chorley from Plymouth?
Yeah, the chairman.
I think they were there like 10, 15 minutes, I think, and they just saw enough and they were like, just get him down.
That was the way, the kind of start of his, the proper start of his professional career.
Yeah, prior to the World Cup in 1982, he did his Achilles, and he didn't think he was going to get to the World Cup, and he came back too soon. So they sent him, the England doctors and the Ipswich doctors sent him to Cambridge University to stay. He lived there for a while, for like 2 months, to get him back ready. And he was as fit as he's ever been after the World Cup. But he then went and thought, you know what, I'm so fit, I can go back and have the life that I had and drink. That's his biggest regret. Yeah. He didn't maintain that regime, that fitness regime. And the Achilles went, and he ended up at Arsenal, did okay there, then Portsmouth. And he might have started off as a midfielder, but he ended up as a centre-back.
Yeah.
Because he got further and further back when he went to America.
It must have been a wrench leaving Ipswich, though. Because he clearly loved playing for
them. Well, him and John Wark tried to not be smart. They both put a transfer request in to try and get more money. Paul's deal was he wanted to stay at Ipswich for the rest of his career. But he wanted paid more because at the World Cup, they'd been talking, all the players, how much are you on? You're on what? Oh, I'm only on this. So he thought he could get more. But what he wanted to do was end his career at Ipswich as a coach, but his money would come down as a result of that.
Yeah.
But because the Pioneer Stand at Ipswich had just been built, there wasn't enough money for that. So Paul ends up at Arsenal, Wark ends up at Liverpool, but Wark ends up going back to Ipswich. Yeah. Paul didn't.
Wow. Well, it must be lovely, George, to have this kind of record of his career now, and it must be lovely for you, Mark, that the family feel you've done him proud.
That's my main. As long as the family are proud of what's been, because that's Paul's book, and that'll be there forever, and his legacy will be there forever as well.
So it's out now, I take it?
It is, with Reach Publishing.
Yeah, reachsport.com. You'll find it Amazon, all good bookshops as well.
Black Friday sale on as well, half price.
Oh, yeah, there we are, half price.
Never stop selling.
My rock and roll football story, Paul Maron, available now in hardback. Good to see you both. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us in the studio now is comedian and actor Nick Helm. Good afternoon, Nick. Good to see you.
Hello. How you doing?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. You're on in the London's busy West End at the moment.
Glittering Soho.
Yeah. I think you stink.
Yes, it rhymes.
It does. Taking us back to our childhood. It is a kind of B movie horror.
Yeah. I started writing it in 2008.
Wow.
And then it's the 13th anniversary this year. So we did it in Edinburgh in 2019, just before lockdown and everything.
Right.
And then the idea was that we were going to go into Soho. And obviously we haven't done anything for 2 years. And so this is the first opportunity. And it just so happens to be the 13th anniversary. Unlucky for some.
Yeah.
And it's gone really well.
The B-movie horror genre, has it developed in these 13 years or not? Or you can't, harking back to earlier times with
not
this?
Really. Most of the huge ideas for the songs and stuff came all at once in 2008. And then over the years, I've sort of gone back to it and made everything better and refined stuff. We got like projection screens now and stuff, but it's still really shoddy. It's like it's like if Ed Wood made a musical.
Oh, okay.
But it's yeah,
that sounds good.
It's sort of I don't know. It's always a bit of a difficult sell because even I don't really know how to describe it. But it's kind of like. It's like homemade sort of costumes and it's all like slung together. And like, so it's kind of like if my stand-up persona had written and directed a musical. So it's like absolutely shambolic, but it's kind of amazing at the same time.
Good stuff.
Your website describes you as the human car crash of light entertainment.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Great. That was like, when I first started doing stand-up in late 2006, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my act. And so I thought of that. And then whenever I described myself as the human car crash of light entertainment. And then that sort of, every time I got lost, I'd sort of go back to that. And I'd be like, oh, that's what I'm like. It's
fine. The music in the musical, is it, I mean, because people immediately think, oh, it's horror. It's going to be quite rocky horror. Like what sort of music are we talking really? Is it quite general?
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, the way it came about was in 2007, I did a poetry and music show, which was me and my friend with an acoustic guitar on stage. And we just sort of like did poems and some sort of gentle songs. And then the next year I was going to do another show like that. So it started off with poems and songs. And then it sort of like turned into something completely different. So, yeah, there is sort of like a rocky horror element to it. But when I was writing it, it never crossed my mind.
Right.
And then it was kind of like, oh, yeah, it is a bit like that. So we sort of like have lent into it a bit. And if you like rocky horror, you'll like this.
Oh, excellent.
I mean, music's been quite a big part of your comedy, hasn't it? I mean, in Uncle, which you did for 3 seasons and I loved, there was music in every show, wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the way that Uncle came about. I mean, so I was in bands at school. I've written music longer than I've been a comedian. But when what was the question, Uncle?
Yes.
With Uncle,
there was music a song. There was always a song in it, wasn't there?
The original pilot, when the script came, I'd just worked with Baby Cow on some blaps, and when this script came along they said, oh, Nick would be good for this. So I never auditioned for it or anything, and the only thing was that it was about an out of work actor, and we all sort of like agreed that an out of work actor was slightly less empathetic than an out of work musician. And Henry had just seen me on stage and he said, oh, well, Nick writes songs. And he just said, if you make him into an out-of-work musician, he can write a song for every episode.
Oh,
and
no.
Ollie Refson, who wrote it and directed it, he just, you know, tweaked it ever so slightly. And then all of a sudden, it sort of came to life and it gave me something to do and it gave me some input. And all the songs in Uncle, they were like a minute and a half and you've got to fit in plot and character and all of these bits in them. There's one song in Uncle that doesn't really add anything to anything. And that's my least favourite. But all of the other songs, I think that the show, you know, everything's different after the song, you know. Like the characters have moved on or the plot has moved on slightly. So it sort of contributes to the arc of the episode.
Yeah. Now, we understand you're not the biggest. Here we are on Talk Sport. You're not the biggest of sports fans. But I said
is sport?
That's a very good question.
That's the first time anybody's ever asked that of us. Oh, wait. Yeah, we'll put that to the listeners. What is sport? We even found a bit of sport in Jack D a while back, which took some doing. But it didn't ever interest you at school. And doesn't still, or
no. But I think it's sort of like it's passed down to you, isn't it? And my dad was really sort of like my parents, my mum and my dad. They watch like sporting events. They watch the Olympics and the World Cup and whatever.
Yeah.
But when we were growing up, my dad was really sort of like into art, and so we'd have like BBC Two on. And we'd be like watching opera.
A bit of rugby league. Floodlit rugby league with Eddie Webb.
My mum loves rugby.
Yeah. Oh, right.
But she's a bit of a perv.
Did you play sport at school at all? Or you try and avoid it?
Yeah, we had to.
We all did, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, that was it. I mean, I was always into sort of like drama and stuff. And I moved school at sort of like about 7 or 8. And I think that that was sort of like a crucial age for me. Mm. Where when I moved schools, it took me a while to make friends, so I used my imagination a lot. So I think that I was really more into that sort of stuff. Mm. And like, and I, if I was into, if I was into sport, it would have made my life a lot easier. Because I worked in a pub, and it's just a shorthand for yeah. blokes, yeah. for men standing at a bar. You can just talk about absolutely, you know, it's, if you've got sport in common, you can talk for hours.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that in taxis, I've noticed that in pubs. And I was filming a sitcom with Ramesh Ranganathan called Reluctant Landlord.
Mm. Oh,
and yeah. We had Nigel Planer came in to do like a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I grew up watching Nigel Planer on...
Young ones.
I'm saying Nigel Planer.
Right.
And I don't mean Nigel Planer. I mean Nigel Havers.
Oh,
Nigel Havers. Yes, right. And I grew up watching Nigel Havers. And it was just like, right, okay, so there's Nigel Havers. And I'm stood on set with him and I've got nothing to say to him for like 5 minutes. And I'm sort of like starstruck. And I was like, oh, God, right. And then Ramesh sort of walks in and he says, what's your team? And then they're just talking for like 5 minutes. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, if only I had that skill.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I've got the... how people are with sport is how I am with films. So I can talk about films for hours.
That was a good series, The Reluctant Man, and I'd forgotten you were in that, weren't you? Yeah. You were sort of the regular customer, weren't you? And
yeah.
Sort of,
I was like...
looking for love,
I think. Norm. Of
the
yeah, I got cast really late, last minute. I got cast on the Friday and started filming on the Monday.
Wow!
Yeah.
So, this is how long's the run of the show?
Got four more nights. We're doing tonight until Saturday at the Soho Theatre.
Soho Theatre in London. So, if you're living in London or down in London,
there's restaurants all nearby. Oh, yeah. You can eat and you can
nice
come
venue.
And see the show.
They have the football on in the pubs. You'll watch the football and then go off to the next gig.
And to be honest, if you buy a ticket, you can have the football on your phone. As
I don't really care then. And will you plan to sort of take this on the road a bit more? Or
it's impossible to tour. Because there's five people in it. There's so many props. There's so much like technical aspect to it. I might like think about like relocating it to like a northern venue, but it cost me loads of money to put on as well. So, right. So I'm doing it. It's just out. It's like a passion project.
Yeah.
It's like absolutely out of love. And if someone ever like sees it and says, "Oh, I know what to do with that," that'd be brilliant.
Okay.
Because I've done this for 13 years and it's like, and I just like
want someone else to take
you
it.
I just transfer want to TV now.
I reckon it could be a film, it could be TV, it could be a radio drama, it could be anything you want it to. I take all the music out, make it a straight TV show.
Put sport in it, it could be on TalkSport.
It could be. Oh yeah, we'll do a production. Nick Helms, I Think You Stink. He's on at the Soho Theatre now. Nice to see you, Nick. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, of course, everyone on this show was devastated when our transfer deadline day man outside the Spurs training ground, Richard Crackers Cracknell, up sticks and obviously off based on the money that we paid him over the years, went and moved abroad to a tax haven. No, of course not. He retired and moved off to the Canary Islands. But he comes back to this country to present lots of, not just Tottenham evenings. he was telling me last night, he's done a few Arsenal ones as well.
No, yeah. You haven't.
A man's got to eat.
Oh, for goodness
well,
it's sake.
Well, just, you know, you've got to be bigger than that, haven't you, when you're doing that kind of job. And he presents the evenings with the legends around the country. But he's popped in to see us. Good afternoon, Crackers. Good to see you.
Afternoon, Paul. Afternoon, Andy. Or buono pomeriggio.
Yes.
Andy says I fall deeply for every manager.
Yeah,
so.
I expected the whole interview to be conducted in Italian.
Yes.
You were right behind Nuno. You were right behind Conte. But I don't blame you because Conte is a good manager.
I've really fallen for Antonio. Yeah. Really, really. Just to see that passion on the sidelines now. You know, Nuno was a little bit arms folded and a bit...
inscrutable, wasn't he? He was a bit sort of passive and we didn't quite know what he was thinking.
It's a bit like Newcastle, in as much as any wins Newcastle can get before the transfer window will be a real bonus. And it's the same for Spurs. Any wins Spurs can get now, before he gets into the team, gets them fit, gets them playing the way he really wants them, is a bonus.
Yes, exactly. And, I mean, as he said, he doesn't want to see any of the players come in again back to training looking that unfit and that overweight. So I'm hoping I don't bump into him at any stage because I'm banging trouble.
No, you've lost a fortune of weight.
And Jonathan Liu wrote an interesting piece about the significance of ketchup. It's not ketchup per se, it's what ketchup represents, isn't it?
Oh, I see.
That a coach goes in.
I thought you meant catching up.
No, no, I don't mean not catching.
Catching
not
up on ketchup. The other top three.
We're not catching up. I'm talking about tomato ketchup. Why would I suddenly start speaking up from Bloemfontein apropos of nothing? But anyway, tomato ketchup. And the manager comes in. And even Michael Dawson did the Spurs show, which we often do with Mike Lee and Theo Delaney. But Michael Dawson was talking about that and the regime change. He said, what difference did it make when X came in? I can't remember the manager. Oh, it made a massive difference. Like, oh, it was Harry.
Yes.
Overnight, Harry came in. It was a different atmosphere. He put ketchup back on the table. So you got to do. If the players have had a bad experience, if you're a budding coach, if they've not had ketchup, put the ketchup on and they'll love you for at least till they put on a bit of weight and their teeth fall out. Not that ketchup does that, I'd like to point out, from the good people at Heinz.
Other ketchups you'd have to are
drink,
available.
You have to drink a lot of it, or other ketchups. Yeah, that's right. We were saying earlier on, Andy has heard that the Pochettino for Manchester United is looking very, very good. How will you feel? I've been sort of contemplating this. I loved him as a manager, and I wish him well, and I'd like to see him back in work, but it will be a bit like seeing an ex-partner, won't it, that you ended on good terms with, suddenly with someone else, and it's going to be
That with Spurs. You have Mourinho and Conte. You do love an ex-Chelsea manager. I look forward to Churchill turning up there in about three years' time.
But I mean, what was it like? Was it worse with Conte now, or was it worse with seeing Mourinho at Tottenham?
I think Mourinho, but Conte, only because Mourinho, I feel, was past his best when he went to Spurs, whereas I think this guy's at the top of his game.
I'm
concerned that, obviously, that Spurs... But the whole of the Premier League is going to become so top-heavy when you've got these great managers coming in, lots of money. You've got Newcastle, you know, obviously they're miles away at the moment, but... You know, you can envisage in a United, if they get Poch, you can see 6, 7, 8 teams really challenging, which is great for the league.
Football's such a mad sport, though, because there's such juxtapositions. You get all these pundits talking about the science and this didn't go right and that didn't go right, but it's chaos. There's no science to football. There is a chaos to it. So you get pundits saying, oh, this should have happened, that should have happened. Sometimes it doesn't, and it's the same as the love of players and managers. We all fall so in love, but yet it's such a cold, hard business. Everybody was saying, oh, I do love Pochettino. It's going to kill me to see him at Manchester United, and I think Poch really loves Spurs. Well, don't go to Manchester United then if you really love us. We'll kick around and wait for Conte
but
to go.
They're professionals. No one ever feels the same way as the fans. They can have an affinity with the club, but it's never the same. Never on the same level as a fan. And no one should ever expect that, I don't think.
And I think that's what fans sometimes don't quite get. And I think this is where I've had a little peep behind the curtain at the Wizard of Oz Castle, interviewing and working with the players. You get to see that more human side when it's just another job, as you know, same as going to work at a butcher's, baker's and candlestick maker.
But the money's slightly better.
Yeah.
Unless the money's really gone up in candlestick making recently. Imagine a couple of candlestick makers saying, I'm about 150 grand a week now. Cool, that's not bad.
But it was ever thus, because I remember one night we were at Scribes, Terry Venables' old place.
Yes.
And we were sitting on a table. It was the Saturday night karaoke. It was a great night. Eric Hall and Neil... Ruddock. Yeah, Neil Ruddock. And Dennis Wise was sitting opposite. And Chelsea had lost that day to Leeds, I think 4-0, 4-1, something like that. And obviously I was gutted. And my wife turned to Dennis and said, you don't seem as upset as my husband, not my son. Which would be quite difficult. You couldn't be as upset. He said, no,
not many people are.
That's true.
I don't think Thomas Tuchel gets as upset as you do. And he gets very upset.
It's the scorched earth.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. There's that professional distance, isn't there?
You know. And Dennis loved the club. But, I suppose you can't react to every win or loss.
No, there has to be a little bit of an evenness to it, doesn't there? You know, and don't get too excited when things are going great, and just don't get too down when things are going bad. So
do you follow a consoling thing for yeah. us as Chelsea fans watching Conte is that, like we did with Mourinho, we absolutely knew it would go wrong, and like we do with Conte, we absolutely know it's going to go wrong
after 2 years.
After 2 years, you'll have won something, but it will go wrong.
Yes, I'm fully prepared for that because yeah. you know if you look at the lifespans, you've got like the Mayfly. Then I think it's TikTok viral videos, and yeah. then it's Premiership Manager, yeah. isn't it? That's just the top three for life cycles, really.
Are you finding you've moved to the Canary Islands?
Yes,
you?
Yeah. to Lanzarote.
You
to
love
Lanzarote.
It, don't you? I follow you on Instagram. You yeah. post lovely pictures to make us all jealous.
Yeah, to sit there holding a bottle of local beer with the sun going down. Thanks ever so much when it's pouring rain. Yeah. But the have you been following a Spanish team there? Do you keep an eye on the local? Is it Lanzarote Rovers? Or
my sons play for a team at Club Deportivo Tinajo. I take an interest in them. Biggest team on the island really is UD Lanzarote, Union Deportivo Lanzarote, yeah. and they play at sort of Forest Green, maybe Leighton Orient level, because the leagues are sort of set up a bit yeah. differently. So La Liga and that level, you have to really go over to Gran Canaria for.
Tenerife is the big Tenerife, club on the islands, isn't it?
Yes,
of course.
Yeah. So I don't keep too much Spurs. Keeps me busy enough, really, yeah. doesn't it?
Of course, you're able to see all of the games, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Get to watch the games, but you know, La Liga's technically brilliant, and you know, even you see it in the kids, the technical ability of them. He's
so your lads
incredible.
Who played sort of football over here, Saturday football over here, they noticed it when they first went there, the sort of technical level of working with these Spanish kids?
Massively. My youngest is goalkeeper for his side, and where we was doing, you know, a couple of hours a week training, now it's 2 hours a night, three nights a week. And my youngest lads drop weight, and they're telling them no juice in you, a bit like Antonio.
Ketchup?
No ketchup.
No juice
in
level,
the, just in the water, and you know, there's fitness training and then game training, and so they really, really do take it seriously. But they pour so much money into their sports facilities. I mean, I live in a tiny little town of 4,000 people, and we've just had like 4-5 million euro pitch relayed there, 4G. pitch, so they do really invest in grassroots sports there, and it's very, very almost professional, really. Wow. So, yeah, they really enjoy it.
And very nice. You heard me talking on the show about a well-known supermarket producing sort of sportswear and trainers that are become so sought after. They're on eBay for about 500 quid.
Yes.
So you tried to get me the trainers, but you couldn't get those because you didn't know my size. But you did bring both Paul and I the socks.
The socks. Yes. From this well-known, yeah, predominantly yellow with a bit of blue and red on them.
Yes,
yeah,
that's a bit right. of a clue.
Yes, but the train is quite sought after, but they're basically growing on trees in your part of the world.
the supermarket in question puts their offers on in the middle aisle Thursday morning.
And there you are. You've got a canoe, a flamethrower, 12 pairs of trainers, juggling boys. So he's got the lot. It's whatever, you know, whatever's on the middle aisle, you're down there.
I was queuing at 8 a.m. on the Thursday morning to go and get the trainers, thinking, right, there's going to be massive queues here, because as you say, in the UK they're trading for hundreds of pounds. So there I am, 8:30, the doors open, and I've gone tearing into the middle
supermarket
aisles,
sweep,
and everybody else is just going about picking up their fruit and veg and bit of tapas, and there's just me filling my basket like a lunatic.
I love your estimate of my foot size, 43 yeah. to 46. I think I could be in Jerry Cottle's circle.
I mean, the socks this big, so you're going to look like Britney in the Hit Me Baby One More Time video. They're going to be...
an image.
That's not a thing of Andy in pigtails as a hog. Get out. What a horrible thought.
Get out.
Crackers, lovely to see you.
Yes, lovely to see you.
I know you popped back, so maybe you'll pop back around transfer deadline day and we'll get you back out there to the training. It might actually be doing some business
I think they will be in January.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully.
Otherwise, Antonio will be leaving.
February the 1st, Conte's gone. Thank you, mate. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy, anything else you want to share with the class?
Well, I've got some exciting news for me.
I think we're all delighted for you. Have you won the lottery? I've got some exciting news for me. Yeah. 122 million, apparently.
I don't know if you remember, but we talked about this on air, before the first lockdown, I was incredibly excited to have secured two tickets to Jose Feliciano's appearance at the Bexhill-on-Sea.
Jose.
Is it?
It's Tuchel.
I can't know what's wrong with me today. I'm hopeless. Anyway, Jose Feliciano.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't know why I call him Jose.
Well, because of the Portuguese and the Spanish situation, as Glenn would call
anyway,
it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Feliciano.
Oh, yeah.
He's May the 19th, 2022. It's been rescheduled.
So are your tickets?
I think they're still valid.
Still valid.
I never got the money back. So.
And where's the venue?
Bexhill-on-Sea, the theatre there.
Lovely.
It's the Rye Jazz Festival.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So is that where he was supposed to be on before?
Exactly that. Yeah, at exactly that time, a year later.
I mean, make sure, don't turn up.
No, no.
It's, and find that the tickets
it's on his
are not
website.
Tickets are not valid. Well, it must be
don't
true.
Don't call
then.
Me Jose.
Yeah, don't call me no Jose. Don't call me Jose.
Don't call me Jose.
It's on
Jose.
The tour's called Call Me Jose, Andy Jacobs, not Jose.
Yeah. Anyway, never mind. I'm
well, Andy, we'll look
it.
Forward to the full report because you've been banging on about it for about 2.5 years now. Going,
I know.
Going to see him.
Jack Grealish apparently still agonising over affairs of the heart. Talk about not a problem, really, whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I know he's been linked, hasn't he? He's been linked in the newspapers, we've noticed. I don't know if you've seen, Norwich City have done something that always is quite contentious among the fan base. They have unveiled a new club crest.
People hate that, don't they?
Well, I don't think everybody hates the badge. I've sort of taken the temperature of the Norwich fans, but it always leads to a bit of marketing speak.
Yeah.
So the commercial director said, "This is a huge moment in the history of Norwich City."
Is it?
And a real statement of intent for the future.
What, a new
they
badge?
Signed Cristiano Ronaldo and Erling Haaland. For the first time in 50 years, the club will adopt a newly evolved crest fit for digital purpose, iconic and most importantly accessible for all. It's yellow and green. It's got a canary on it.
I bet Mick Dennis is delighted that it's going to be fit for digital purpose.
That's right. It could
change win, though, for them on the weekend. I was pleased
it
with
was,
Dean Smith.
Yeah.
That was great.
I mean, that was the little flutter to have, I've got to be honest, and I'm just a bit gutted I didn't. The new manager uplift flutter would have done it for you.
Yeah, it would have been good, wouldn't it?
It featured in, it did feature in My Accumulator, which I always do, but also, unfortunately, did Leicester drawing with Chelsea.
Oh.
And that didn't come off. I thought, but Leicester were poor, Andy.
Oh,
well,
very
weren't
poor.
They?
Chelsea played well, but it could have been six.
But I mean, we're saying you did sort of swap them aside. It was very comfortable for you, wasn't
it? Yeah, no, I mean, you know, Chelsea are playing well. It'll be interesting to see what happens on Sunday. I was watching a bit of curling now. We don't do a lot of curling on.
We don't talk curling. You should listen to Talk Curling. It's fantastic.
And I noticed that the curling, I don't know where it was from, the international curling, was sponsored by Gruyere, the. Oh, no, that's not right. I've just realised.
Oh, okay. It's not.
Forget that.
Okay. Well, that was a very short-lived feature from
Andy.
No,
I just realised I was going to say something about that and I've completely wrong. So well done for them for getting involved with it. That's
well done. Who was it sponsored by? You didn't want to go down that route,
it's all right.
Don't read that letter from the Star, will you?
No, I definitely won't read that. That is the maddest letter I've ever
But as the
read,
listeners are never going to find out... Go and
go and have a look at it
Go
today,
and find a copy and
copy,
see if you can find the mad letter
you'll see
of
which
the
one,
day.
You'll see which one it is. Daniel Levy has apparently warned Antonio Conte that
he hasn't. Well, he's not in a position.
He's just appointed him. He's not going to say to him, oh, and by the way, thanks for signing, and now I'm warning you that we're not going to sign anyone.
No, I really don't think that is the case. I don't think he would have come unless he's going to get a cup. But who knows? As I said, February the 1st will be a big day when he's got a spotted handkerchief on a stick and he's walking out of Spurs Lodge with all his coaches, of his many coaches.
Yeah, you don't want to take him on legally. He did quite well out of Chelsea.
Yeah.
So a man has been disqualified in Germany after driving to his own driving test. They caught him doing that.
Caught him driving to his own driving test. What was his driving like?
Oh, no idea. Probably fine.
Yeah. Of course, you're not allowed to do that. Did you pass first time?
Yes, which is incredible.
Really?
Surprise, isn't it?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting
all
you to
thanks
say
to
that.
Mr. Knapp.
From Mr. Knapp and his Model T. Fantastic.
Tremendous.
So you'd have to stand there cranking the handle and then jumping into the car before it took off. Yeah. The Mr. Knapp School of Motoring.
Yes, I think it was, yeah.
So, what vehicle did you learn in, Andy? I'm interested to know.
I think it was a Escort, I think, if I remember rightly.
Okay.
It's a dual carriage, not dual carriage.
No, it's not a dual carriage.
Dual controls.
It's a dual carriageway of a car. You get, the words aren't coming to you today,
not
great on live radio. Yeah.
I am pleased, though. I've got a nice selection of gags for tomorrow's. They're already done. I don't always get them done like that.
So when I say.
Well, when I say good, I've got one that I like.
Oh, okay. Out of 10.
I'm particularly pleased. You'll guess which one it is because I'll do it first.
Excellent. Okay, your birthday spread will be back. Charlie will be here tomorrow, but we've got plenty more to come between now and four when Andy Goldstein and Darren Goff take over. Dual carriageway. I think today's podcast will be called Jose Feliciano's Dual Carriageway. There we are. That's done.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Fergie, did you see this? That when he used to appear around Old Trafford or the training ground, they had a secret code word. All the staff would say, Max Jaffa is in. You know, which even predates me. I mean, blimey. That is
Max Jaffa, the old...
Even Martin Kellner's going, I don't remember him.
The old violinist, wasn't he?
He was an old violinist.
Why did... why they called him Max Jaffa, but why is it a bit like they do that at the games, you know? Mr. Johnson is in the... Really loud, the PA, 10 times as loud, and Mr. Johnson has left the building. Yeah, do a bit of that.
Well, it might be. I've no idea, really, but there you go.
Yeah, he was a British light orchestral violinist and band leader. I mean, it's a bit of an old reference, isn't it?
It is, really.
It predates Sir Alex, I would think.
I can't imagine Cristiano saying, all it is, Max Jaffa's in.
Max Jaffa's in the building. It does seem quite Lee Sharp. It does seem quite unlikely they would have said, oh, watch it, here comes Max Jaffa. Let's not dwell on that for too long.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Charlie Baker's here, but you'll be up for the birthday spread.
Oh, yes. I'm really looking forward to it.
We'll do it all again tomorrow. If you can join us from one, great. If not, podcast available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.